Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Well, we had a family gathering on Independence Day. I'm sure you did too. Many of you probably had family gatherings or have had them in the past. You know what they feel like. Part of our 4th of July ritual at my mom's house, we go to mom's, we get corn from Fulton Farms. They're south of Troy. That's always a tradition. Some of the best corn on the cob that you can get. We have a cookout and we set up chairs in my mom and dad's backyard. And we literally sit right under the fireworks. We have front row seats. We don't have to go anywhere for the fireworks. So that is always our destination on the 4th of July. But this year, last Saturday, we went, we shucked corn, we ate. And as we were getting ready to eat the food and we were preparing to eat the food, we hit a speed bump. The stove in my mom's kitchen blew a fuse. And it happens some of the time. It's an older house. My brother, Jeff, he heads down to the basement. He knows exactly where the electrical box is. He knows exactly where he needs to go to get things back on track. So he even took a flashlight downstairs with him so that he could go down and get things going again. But he couldn't see which breaker in the box needed to be reset because he forgot his readers. He wasn't planning on doing any reading that afternoon, just like I wasn't planning on preaching from paper this morning. But he didn't have his readers on. He was this close. He was this close. He had a light. He was at the right place. He was at the breaker box. But he couldn't see which fuse to push. And he literally said, "Joe, I need your help." And so I come downstairs and he's like, "I can't see which fuse is off. I don't have my readers." And I sat there next to him and I was like, "Neither can I." But I adjusted a little bit with my eyes and my contact lenses and we finally figured it out. But he was this close, literally, hand in front of your face, this close to solving the problem. But he wasn't able to reset the breaker on his own because he didn't have the ability to see clearly. So close to the answer, but couldn't see the solution in front of him. That little story is going to help us a little bit this week, I hope, as we continue to explore God's will for our lives when it comes to our mental health. We've been talking about this the month of June. We've been spending some time about this over the past several weeks. We've been focusing on the importance of becoming not just holy, but of becoming whole. It is God's will for us to become both whole and holy. Both whole and holy. When Jesus teaches us to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, he's talking about redeeming our whole self, not just our soul self. The last time we got together a couple of weeks ago before we went on vacation, we talked about our own mental health in the church, the mental health of the shepherds. As shepherds of our flocks, we need to make sure that we are maintaining a healthy, balanced life. It's difficult to help others become whole and holy if we ourselves aren't there. It's a really, really hard thing to do if we are not at our best. And we discussed the secret to wholeness and to holiness a couple of weeks ago. I told you a secret. It's a key that I think unlocks the mystery of what it means to follow Jesus and to become whole and holy people. And the secret to wholeness and holiness is that we need to keep coming back. We need to keep coming back to God. Even if we've been saved since we were a 9-year-old boy, you've got to keep coming back, don't you, Paul? You've got to keep coming back. You've got to keep coming back to Jesus. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend a little bit of time digging into this secret of what it means to come back to Jesus. You see, when we find ourselves struggling, when we find ourselves struggling, or even when we simply find ourselves just kind of drifting through life. You ever been there before? You're just kind of drifting. You get up every day, you drift through the... I was on vacation the last several days, and by about Thursday, I was drifting. That's a good vacation when you can get to that point. And I wasn't worried about work. I wasn't worried about anything. I was resting. I was drifting. But sometimes we find ourselves struggling. Sometimes drifting isn't a good thing. We're listless. We're not going anywhere. We're not focused on anything. And we can be this close. We can be this close to the solution that will get our spiritual lights back on so that we can become whole and holy. But we miss it. We miss it. Today I want to begin focusing on something that can help you and I lead better lives. More balanced lives. More fulfilling lives. More meaningful lives. Lives that make more of an impact. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. Isn't that what you want? A meaningful, impactful life, a life of purpose? It's something that's right under our noses. Right under our noses, we're this close to it, even right here in this room this morning, but often we miss it because we can't see clearly. I want to begin focusing on something that can help us lead lives filled with power, something that can help us lead lives that are filled with growth, something that can help us lead lives that are filled with the Holy Spirit, something that can help us lead lives that are filled with revival. Doesn't that sound good? I want some of that. I want a life of growth and power filled by the Holy Spirit. It's right in front of us. It's right in front of your nose this morning. If you only embrace it, we're this close to it this morning. If we have eyes to see, the secret to coming back to Jesus, the secret to holiness, the secret to wholeness, heart, mind, soul, strength, is the concept of Sabbath. The secret to wholeness and holiness is the concept of Sabbath. We've developed, I think, an enormous misunderstanding of Sabbath in our culture. When I was growing up, I remember as a young child, grew up in Troy, we keep the Sabbath with a long list of things. We kept it with a long list of things we didn't do. You know, and I bet you if we went around this room, you all had a list of things you didn't do on the Sabbath. You know, we didn't play with friends. We didn't go out to eat. My parents, they did not want us to do any work around the house. There was just a lot of stuff we did not do on Sunday. Amen? That's just the way it was. And we kept the Sabbath also by things that we did do that were different from other days of the week. We did go to church, right? You know, and I remember on Sundays we did spend a lot of time with family. We spent a lot of time with our immediate family. We would fight. Not that you kids back there would ever do any of that, right? We'd fight. We'd bicker. You know, we visited extended family on Sunday afternoons often, grandmas, grandpas, things like that. We had a Nazarene nap. Amen. Woo! Glory. And then we'd go back to church again on Sunday night. And by the end of the day on Sunday, we were exhausted. We didn't do a lot of things, and we did do a lot of things, and it was a ritual that we went through every week, and there was nothing bad in any of it. That was the way that we observed the Sabbath. I'm not saying there's anything right or wrong about any of that. That was the way we observed the Sabbath. But in our observation of the Sabbath, week after week, month after month, year after year, I think that we've lost our understanding of the true meaning and the true value of why we do what we do when we come to church on Sunday morning. Why we gather together. We've lost our understanding of the true meaning, the true reason why we do this. You don't just do it because you have to. I hope not. Hopefully you get to go to church on Sunday morning, to steal a phrase from Pastor Ed. We've in our desire to make sure we're doing the right things, we've checked the box, and we've made Sabbath a day to be observed rather than what it really is. It's really a lifestyle to be embraced. Sabbath isn't just a day. Sabbath is a lifestyle that we need to embrace as human beings. Amen. You see, we're designed for Sabbath. The blueprints, when God was laying out the blueprints, Sabbath is, it's in the design. So if we don't truly understand how to apply it in our lives, and we don't understand that it's a lifestyle rather than a day to be observed, we're never going to really be able to become whole or holy the way God intends for us to be. So let's talk about this just a little bit. In order to regain a sense of our understanding of Sabbath, we need to go back to the beginning, not the big inning. You know, everybody says there's Major League Baseball, Tristan, in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 1, in the big inning, right? In the beginning, not the big inning. The big inning was last night when the Reds hit a home run in the ninth inning and beat those Milwaukee Brewers. They're 5 games back, hallelujah, at the break. We're competitive at the middle of the season. But enough of that. We need to go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. Let's examine the pattern of this story here. And hopefully you have your scripture open there. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I am going to walk you through it this morning because I think it's really important to see that Sabbath is ingrained in the design. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 says, God went to work in the beginning, and the task at hand was to speak light into the darkness. God spoke light. Let there be light in the darkness. And he saw it was good. And that was the work for day one. Wouldn't it be good? You just get up and you say, let there be light. 4 words. Let there be light. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Mic drop. That was day one. And so God, he kind of regrouped and rested. God got up. He went to work. The next day, the task was to make the sky, which he named the heavens. That was day two. He sat down, took a break, got a Coke. Got up, went to work. And the task was to make the land, which he named Earth. And on this third day, it was, you know, the third day of the week, it's Wednesday. And he's just like, oh, man, not only am I going to make the Earth, because I'm inspired today. I'm going to fill the land with all sorts of plants and all sorts of trees. I'm going to fill it up with all sorts of green life that produces all these great fruits and vegetables. I have no green thumb. But we serve the master green thumb. Filled the land with fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, scents, smells, colors. Whew. That was a good day. He looked back and said, that's good. Sat down. That was day three. Got up. God got up next day, went to work. Task for that day, make the sun, make the moon and the stars. Saw it was good. That was day four. That was Thursday. What did you do last Thursday? One day he made the sun and the moon and the stars, the Milky Way, the universe. Got up again, went to work. Task on the next day, hey, let's fill the ocean with fishies and reptiles and let's fill the sky with birds and let's fill the land with all sorts of animals. We went to the Columbus Zoo a week ago. We saw animals from all over the planet. Pastor Vicky got to feed a giraffe. I got pictures. It was an interesting affair. I made all these animals from all over the world. Day five in the books. Then God got up again and he went back to work. And on this next day, God saves the best for last. He saves the best for last. On this final day, the task was to make human beings in our own image. Let's make them in our own image, reflecting our nature. We read in Genesis 1:26, God created human beings. Hard for me to say this morning. He made humanity, created them godlike, says made them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female, and he gave them dominion over everything on the earth. Then on that sixth day, he stepped back and he looked at everything. He looked at everything he'd been doing over the past week. And he said it was good. He didn't just say it was good. He said it was so very good. It was very good. And he sat down. That was day six. And then he got back up on the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, first verse. And you know what? He rested. So God rested on the seventh day from his work. God blessed the seventh day. He made it a holy day because on that day he rested from his work. Word of the Lord. You see a little pattern emerging here? You get up, do something productive, creative. You look at it, you appreciate it, you sit down and rest. And you get up and you do something productive and creative, inspired. You look at it, you evaluate it, you say it's good. You sit down and you rest. You get up, you create, you produce, you're inspired. You look at it, it's good. When it's good, then you sit down and you rest. Does that sound like your life? You get up, you go to work. Not sure if it's good or not. I just think as we look at this, as we look at Genesis chapter 1, as we look at Genesis chapter 2, as you look at that pattern that's laid out there in the scripture, a couple really easy key points. Even the kids can take these points home with them today that help us understand the importance of and the meaning of Sabbath in our lives. First of all, God, this is very basic, God built Sabbath into the original design. It's right there in Genesis chapter 1. Now, we can debate all the different debates about Genesis chapter 1. But I think it's there for a reason. It's there for us to really get familiar with this pattern of creativity that God built into his creation. God built Sabbath into the original design of the world. And he built Sabbath not only into the design of the world, he built it into his creation. At the very beginning, God, I talked about this at the beginning of the service this morning. At the very beginning, God establishes a rhythm by which all creation works. He establishes this rhythm. Isn't it interesting? Oh, it just happens on accident. It's a rhythm that God intentionally built into the design of creation. Every rotation around the earth can essentially be broken down into 52 weeks. Every 52 weeks. 52 weeks made up of not 5 days, but 52 weeks made up of 7 days. And you can cut it up any way you want to, but a week is 7 days because a week has to be 7 days because that's the way creation works. There's no way you can fit it in 3-day week and you can call, oh, we'll have 26, but then you got to mess up the calendar and you're doing all this shifting and all this extra math. It's kind of like the math I do in the morning when I push the snooze on my alarm clock that I set 10 minutes early so that I actually feel like I'm getting up later than I actually am just to get up on time. We don't do that kind of math when we're talking about the way the universe works. 52 weeks made up of 7 days. It's the rhythm. 7 days that we all live in. Those 7 days, 24 hours. Just like clockwork, that clock on the wall back there, that clock, that watch on your wrist, it's designed to follow this rhythm. It's designed to follow this rhythm that is built into creation. Each day, get up, produce, rest. Do you see it? Do you see it there? Every 7 days, a full day of rest. 6 days, up and down. Rest, create, rest. Rest, create, rest. Rest, create, rest. Seventh day, a full day of rest. In music, we'd call that a whole rest. Right? We would call that a whole, you get the whole day where we rest. It's built into creation. It's a critical part of the design. It's so important, this seventh day of rest, that God made that rest day a holy day, a sacred day. He made it a sacred day. That means don't mess with it. It's set apart for something special. It's really important that you pay attention to that day. It's part of the design. And if you ignore it, your life's going to be all screwed up because you're going to bust up the rhythm of what was intended for you as you were designed as a human being. Amen? Amen. It's the way it works. It's an important day. Sabbath is that holy, sacred day. It's part of that reason, but I want you to see Sabbath isn't just the day, it's the rest in between the days too. It's not just a day to be observed, it is a lifestyle to be observed and adopted by people who are following Jesus. Sabbath is part of the design. It's part of the design for a reason. Second point, real quick here. First of all, God built the Sabbath into the original design. Second point, humans, all of us, are made in the image of God. Can you say this with me? I am made in the image of God. Let's say it. I am made in the image of God. One more time. I am made in the image of God. We've all heard that phrase. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Well, when we read the creation story, I think two things pop out here. Work, productivity, creativity, those things are all good for us. God did all those things in the design-making process of creation. Work, productivity, creativity, all good things. We are designed as human beings to build, to create, to fix, to produce. It's in our nature. But just as important is the need to rest. We are designed to do, to go, to get things done. But just as important is the need to rest. Each day is broken up by a rest period for God. He demonstrates, he shows, if God did it, I'm made in the image of God, what's good for the goose must be good for the gander. It's part of the design. If Sabbath rest is good for God, it's also good for humanity. It's part of our wiring. It's in our blueprint. Is it any wonder that the three major religions in the world all observe the Sabbath? Isn't that interesting? Islam, Judaism, Christianity, all recognize the Sabbath. We are made in the image of God. God rested. We need to rest. We need to incorporate the rhythm of Sabbath rest into our lives if we are to become our best selves. This is all linked up to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We can't help others become whole and holy if we're not whole and holy. And part of taking care of ourselves, guess what? This sermon's about giving you permission to take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. You can't help others be holy and holy if you are not your best self. And that leads to my final point for you this morning. If we neglect our need for Sabbath, if you neglect your need for Sabbath, you will not be able to become whole and holy. That's the final point today. If you neglect the Sabbath, it's just not possible. You see, we need true Sabbath in our lives. It's not just about checking the box. I went to church this week. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's not just about taking your Nazarene nap on Sunday afternoon. All the rest is part of it. There's something about the rhythm of Sabbath that is critical. It is critical to our everyday health. It's critical to our mental health to get that rest. I'm sorry. It's critical to our spiritual health. And in our modern society, now more than ever, it's really hard to sit down and rest. Can I get an amen? Are you there? In our society today, the Bible says, hey, you need to rest, you need to build Sabbath in. But the reality, Pastor, is I'm finding it really difficult to find time to Sabbath. Easy for you to say, coming off of a week of vacation, listing in your drifty river or whatever you were doing. But there's something critical about this rhythm of Sabbath that we need to incorporate in our lives, and our modern culture makes it so difficult to slow down and stop. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes we're scared to stop and be silent and to rest because we're running from stuff that we need to deal with. But God calls us to stop and rest. And many of you are thinking right now, Pastor, I have no margin in my life to be able to rest. I have too many obligations. I have too much to do. I have too many burdens in my life. I have too many black marks on my record. Rest is not in the cards for me. And that's really the point this morning. None of us are exempt from the design. You're this close to the answer where you're looking for peace. You want wholeness. You want meaning. You want purpose. It's this close. It's in front of our faces. But none of us are exempt from the design. None of us are exempt from the need deep down inside to intentionally, and that's the key word, intentionally set aside some time for Sabbath rest. None of us are exempt from this need. And we ask ourselves, why am I so stressed out? Why am I so filled with anxiety? Why is my blood pressure so high? Except for Paul. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Why is my mental health so fragile? Why is my spiritual life so meager? It's in our design, folks, to work, then rest, and work, then rest, and then on that seventh day to Sabbath, to rest. Sabbath is going to look a little different for you than it looks for me. I know one common thing that we have that we can enjoy together is coming together as the family of God. But sometimes we need to make sure we're building that margin in so that we can recover. What do we fill our Sabbath with? Do we fill it with work and activity, or do we fill it with things that will rejuvenate us and inspire us? You know, I think, you know, so often we talked about when I was a kid, don't do this and don't do that on Sunday. Sabbath isn't just about what we don't do, it's about what we do. Part of what we do is we worship, right? You know, and I think a Sabbath rest is really good for us to think about creatively and intentionally. What can I do that will inspire my soul? What do I like to do? That's not work, and it's not going to wear me out, because rest of it's a part of the equation. Worship is a part of the equation. But I think Sabbath rest, there's also something to Sabbath rest where, you know, do what inspires you. Be outside. Go float your boat in the reservoir, right? Paint, not your walls, Tom. Create something. Paint a picture. Read a book. What inspires you? What fills you up? Go visit with friends. Part of Sabbathing is fellowship. Part of it is koinonia. I'm not going to prescribe what the list looks like. Only you know what it looks like. But I can tell you right now, the opportunities in front of us to evaluate, how well do I Sabbath? How well do I Sabbath? And if I'm finding myself weary, maybe the Lord's telling you, you really do just need to make some time to take a nap. Give yourself a break. Because naps are spiritual holy moments.
Amen.
Amen? Go to Dairy Queen. Do something with somebody you love. And Sabbath is not just about not doing things. It's about doing the things that fill our hearts and fill our souls and fill our spirits and re-anchor us to who we serve and what our main purpose in our lives is about. Yes. Amen. Amen? Amen. So I'm speaking to somebody this morning. I know I am. Sabbath is hard to do. in this culture? How is God talking to you this morning? What is he calling you to do? And maybe the conversation is, you know, I know you got a lot to do. There's no doubt, but you control your calendar. You can make space for Sabbath. You have to be intentional about it. You have to guard it. You have to make space for it, and you have to guard it. My Saturdays, my Sundays aren't my Sabbath, just so you know. I work on Sundays. My Sabbath every week is Saturday. Saturday is the day. You know what I do on a really good day? And I'm going to let you go here in just a second because I'm going long. But I'll just give you a picture of what my Sabbath looks like. I'll get up. I'll fix me a cup of coffee. And this is the picture-perfect Sabbath. If I can sit on my front porch with a cup of coffee and my puppy dog and my Bible and my study materials and just study and meditate on the Word for 2-3 hours. Just sit there and read the Bible and pray and meditate, enjoy the outdoors, fills my soul. And then, you know what else I like to do on my Sabbath? My parents would get all over me for doing this. I love to do yard work. I'm inside a concrete building all day, every day. And so, you know, maybe I'll mow my yard or maybe I'll go tinker in my garage. Guess what, Roy? I got my golf clubs out. Might do that. Just what refreshes your soul. You know what I really like to do on Sabbath? Is I like to do something with this lady right here. You know, it fills my soul. I'm so busy every week. I have so many things going on. But, you know, hey, let's go simple. Go get a meal. Let's go get a meal. The other day it was, we got up and we're like, hey, let's go to Wapakoneta and go to the Neil Armstrong Museum. Wow, Sabbath. Just to be together with the ones you love. What fills your cup? Some of you are struggling with keeping the Sabbath and getting anything out of the Sabbath. It's just another day of the week. It's just another day filled full of stuff. It's meant to give you the opportunity to rest, to recharge, so that you can be the very best that you possibly can be. Every 7 days, what does the rhythm of your life look like? That's my challenge for you here. We're going to be talking about this the next couple of weeks. What does the rhythm of your life look like? And do you have Sabbath built into your 7-day rhythm? And if you have Sabbath built in, what does your Sabbath look like? And what can you do every 7 days religiously to recharge your spiritual batteries, your emotional batteries, your physical batteries, so that you can be the very best person that you can be, so that you can help others find Jesus. It's about being your very best. Genesis chapter 1, it's right there in the design.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue. Or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.